Selamat pagi, apa khabar? Saya dari Indonesia. So I'll just say I'm from Indonesia. We all brothers and sisters in the Lord. A quick introduction. I preached here before in the early 90s as a member of Brighton Baptist. That's how far back. That fan there, I sponsor that. And my wife and I were married in that building in 1st December 1990. Marie, would you like to get up and just say, oh, there's Marie. No, turn around. I know what you look like. So it's pretty amazing to be able to come back. Nobody invited me for a long time, so I was here in 1990s. So it's probably... So I just want a quick introduction of invitation. My wife and I, Pastor Marion Vineyard, I'm very, very much into trying to answer Jesus' prayer in John 17, that unity need to be manifested, hopefully, while we're alive. It's not when we get to heaven. You read John 17. So we got a service where it's for Marion and Brighton area. There will be a Lutheran and Uniting Church conducting the service, and worship will be provided by Marion Vineyard. So feel free to come along, all right? Okay. So, Stefan Aria. Aria is Agus' twin brother. If you can look at it, it's quite similar. You know, Arnie and Danny. And myself there. So we visited Lombok late March. What we saw was basically God was already working among the people. So John 5:17 talk about the Father always working 24/7 and Jesus is working. So when we come along, it's not like, ah, we got this great plan. You know, it's actually God's mission that we get to walk in and work in. Jesus said, I come, I see what my Father is doing, so I partner with my Father. I see what my Father is saying, I say that. So there's a walking of intimacy, then we work. Agus, my good friend, came from Lombok, 1993. You saw him without hair. Me too. We actually had black hair before, all right? He's losing his and he's going white. So, Stefan, why don't you come out? Stefan is a good friend of mine. First time in Lombok, first time in mission trip in Indonesia. So, right. First impression of Stefan, you get to use the mic.
Well, good morning, church. Look, it was an absolute real privilege to join Pastor Toe and be in Lombok with Agus. And look, you've seen much of the video, but just to give you just a minute or two of my impressions, you know. Toe said that God's always at work. And when we were in Lombok up in the village, I really saw the kingdom of God coming from heaven to earth in the work that Agus was doing with the local people. The village is, you know, it's up in this jungle area, and your church, the support that you're doing and the impact on people's lives is just amazing. There's a newsletter floating around which has more details, but when it comes to things like providing sanitation, you know, fresh running water and toilets for people, you know, repairing the roads, putting roofs on houses. You saw what the houses look like and the work that Agus is doing. Building this team house where he'll be able to use it like a little church, like for community, for people to serve. It will be truly amazing. And everywhere we went in the village, Agus was greeted with warmth and friendliness. He has really built deep relationships. And as we know, it's all about relationships to spread the good news of the gospel. He does the good works, builds deep relationships, and is spreading the news of the gospel. So look, the message I have is amazing work, church. If you ever get over towards Bali, particularly the younger ones, it's only a quick ferry ride across to Lombok. It will be a blessing for you it'll be amazing to see the work he does. So would you like me to pray for him? Okay, I'd like to just pray for us again.
And for us too.
For us too, yeah. Yeah, so Father, just thank you, Lord, that you've called each of us into your mission and your ministry. And this morning we just pray for Argus and for the calling that you have for him to be in the village in Lombok. Father, we just pray your blessing on his work and on the relationships that he's built and for the spread of the gospel in that village. And we thank you again, Father, for the generous prayer and support of this church and others who work together to see your kingdom come. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Stephen. All right. So I just want to touch a few things, highlight a few scripture. Like, say, imagine I'm coming from Indonesia, addressing Adelaide crowd, giving you a picture what is Kampung Baru. Kampung Baru means new village. So this Agus, once upon a time, was young. I remember the time he was sent out with Jackie and Agus. It was Jackie who was sent out first from here. Jackie is a member here. Agus came here, married Jackie. That was 1993. All right, I've seen some old faces, and here we are all getting older, all the old faces. So some of you know me and my wife. So Maria used to be a worship coordinator here. I was the prayer and pastoral coordinator. There was great men and women here in the 90s. I'm sure there still is. But I remember the early 90s. You know, you got Ross Waymow and his wife, Brian Lee, you know, Murray Hockburn, you know, Murray Morton, John Murray, Greg Francis. They were pillars of Baptist, not just this church, Baptist Union. So they discerned that Jackie Argus was supposed to be sent to Lombok, all right? So from that scripture, we can understand, you know, the sending, if it's of flesh, if it's of the human being, it won't last. What if we discern in the early days, and now in 2023, was Argus sent by the Holy Spirit? Or was it quite a good idea? A few of us decided, yeah, Argus doesn't fit here. Send him back to Lombok, you know? So now there were at Antioch, in the church, there was prophets and teachers, as I already named a few. They were great men. They influenced my life and Maria's life in the way we do ministry. I was just seeing Joyce Swister back there. There was lots of prayer, you know, Joyce, Everly, you know. So this was a very sending church. I'm not saying it's not. All I'm saying is I was there in the 1990s, but I haven't been in contact with this fellowship. Obviously, I still get friends. So while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, how did the Holy Spirit communicate with the body of people there? Have a think about it. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and they reached Salamis. They began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues and the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. I just put a picture that, you know, Jackie was sent. So Jackie was like the primary person, and now Argus is continuing. And Barnabas and Saul was like that. Barnabas, without Barnabas, there was not Saul or Paul. All right? Then Paul continued, and we don't hear about Barnabas. But I believe Barnabas was still looking up for those young ones, you know, those that people are known, and selecting and giving them permission and encourage them to come, all right? But in Lombok, Argus continued. he has continued for the last 30 years. He lived and died, and he told me he wanted to die in Lombok. That's why I mentioned that. He's going to live and die in Kampong Bahru. So his ministry is very different from other mission work. So I got contact in three different groups. I've been going to Indonesia the last 5 years. I got different groups that I go and encourage. So there's three different groups in Sasak, reaching out to Sasak people in Lombok. Lombok is now known as the Island of Thousand Mosques. It's only a small place, but the Muslims are invading. So the Christian work is getting harder. But Agus is doing his job. So Agus was history here. Is Agus going to be continuing as the Holy Spirit story of Lighthouse? You know, many of you young ones, you know, like say we were here in the 90s. It's good to see two-thirds now, new people. And the church continue, and we continue. But this story of Agus and Jackie, you know, Mari has been faithful bringing up. But a lot of you young ones is like, who is Agus? He looks weird. You know, he's not like one of us. All right, Australia now, one of us, what does it look like? You know, I've been here 40 years. I do dodgy jokes, which is not politically correct, all right? So I'm just apologize. I do want to speak truth in love, but my truth get distorted and my love get also messed up. All right. So I'm very passionate about unity is because Jesus is very passionate about unity. This passage is about Jesus praying that would you sanctify the disciple by my word in your truth, as you send me, so I send them. All right? Jesus sanctified us, if you want to be included, so that we don't stay in the church. We don't do the holy huddle. We can't be the closet Christian. We have to come out and go out. All right? Pentecost is about that. Pentecost is Jesus saying, hey, stay, tarry. I go up with the Father. We're going to send the Holy Spirit down. When we send the Holy Spirit down, you go out. So we only gather for a while. So I'm saying I'm coming from Indonesia. I want to encourage you, Australia. It's time to go out. Don't be a closet Christian. Do holy huddle once in a while, but get out there. So to break it down, it was a message of that they set apart to go to the world to show and tell God's love so that people will believe and receive Christ so that they can be one with Christ. It's all about relationship, one with Christ and his Father in Trinity, that we also may be one in the Trinity. That's always God's heart, coming together, but some people have to go out to bring them in so that the world may believe that our Heavenly Father has sent Christ. And Christ shares his glory with us so that we can be one and in his glory again go like Christ, as Christ, reincarnational to the world, that we may be perfected in unity. So unity is really big for Christ's prayer. And we get to answer that prayer if we diligently pursue the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, that's two things. You know, this is my first time being a pastor. I've never been a youth pastor. Associate, you know, and we were given a church. I actually don't have calling to be a pastor, but they thought two for the price of one. You know, Maria is a great pastor. All right, so the world need to hear the good news, and that's what Agus is doing. You know, I love the light thing, Dion. Eventually, somebody will shine a light and say, Lombok. You know, this poor guy, dear. You know, this poor, you know. We don't understand. And therefore, it's hard for us to sit here and decide what's right and wrong for Agus. That's basically what we're called to do. Goal. Now, the goal is not having to live here and go another country. It's pretty much as you go, wherever you go, whatever people group that you come across, try to make disciples there. You know, bring Christ there. Bring the presence and power of the Spirit there. That's what you do. You know, all of you, you know, you still have bright and light here. All right? So they come, you go. We just do it. Because all authority, just stop and think, all authority in heaven and earth is now within you. And then you have the Holy Spirit who created everything. Everything. There was nothing. And the perpetual power of possibility is within you. And we are called to live and die for the gospel. In Jerusalem, Judea is similar to Jerusalem, you know, your neighbors. And then Samaria is a bit weird, different, you know, different from the Jews and all that. And then some are called to the end of the world. But this, I believe, is not an option. We need to be involved in four of them. How are you going to involve with Agus' life? You know, the Grace House, the Grace Company. You know, my son actually was part of the initial promotion of that, the Vietnam. So will you consider today, Pentecost, asking the Holy Spirit to help you to see where God leads you? All right. There's one slide that I missed out. John Wesley. Yeah? Know John Wesley? Wrote a few hymns. He was an Anglican young guy trying to do missionary in Georgia, U.S. Anglican priest. Completely depressed. Came back. Failed. He even questioned his own salvation. While he was in his depression, somebody invited him to the Moravian worship service in London. 285 years ago, somewhere in May 24th, he encountered God's presence in a different way. And it was written that at that night, he felt his heart warmly strange, warmly, you know. Something happened, and then obviously we know John Wesley ended up preaching to so many thousands of people. His life transformed, and then he began to transform other people's lives. There's supposedly about 70 million Methodists now. What I'm trying to say is the Holy Spirit is essential of us living a vital, vibrant life here and out there. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, fear, cowardice, but spirit of power and love and discipline. So you have Acts saying, Acts 1:8, wait, tarry, and the Holy Spirit will come on you and you will have power. What kind of power? So Paul picked it up and say, okay, this is not about fear. The gifting you have, you need to stir it up. And then you need to understand you have an opposite spirit of fear and timidity. It is power. What kind of power? It's a dunamis power. It's dynamo. It's dynamic. It's dynamic. It's perpetual. That's the kind of power. In other words, it's ever ready. It doesn't run out. We have to tap into it. And then it's the love. Love that casts out all fear. Love that willing to lay down your life. And then it's about self-control. There's four versions of that. Self-discipline first. then self-control, you got sound mind, and then sound judgment. We need all that. And in church, we don't practice controlling of others, we just practice self-control. So I picked this up because Paul say, but now faith and hope, love abide in this three. The greatest of these is love. Then he say, pursue love, yet desire zealously, earnestly, eagerly spiritual gifts. What are they? He already listed 9 of them in 1 Corinthians 12. But he say, pursue love. All right? We all agree that we should pursue love. But what about all the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy? Is that for us today? So we all like this, all right? Most of us like read it in the wedding and all that. So love is patient, love is kind, it's not jealous, love does not brag, it's not arrogant, does not act unbecoming, it does not seek its own, it's not provoked, does not take into account a wrong, does not rejoice in unrighteousness. That's a big one. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. There's a lot of unrighteousness in our world. But rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and knows all things. Love never fails. So most of us will stop there because we're like, nah, spirit stuff, too weird, stop. But in that, Paul basically say, still pursue love, but he's almost implying love itself is not good enough, or love itself is not enough. Pursue love, but eagerly, zealously go after the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. Because prophecy come, it will inspire you to speak things that not from your own mind. Because it will bring edification, it will build up, it will inspire people, it will exhort. You know, shy us Christian, but can we bring the prophecy and speak truth in love in our world? And then you have encouragement. That exhortation is almost like pure advice. It comes straight from the spirit of truth, and then you share that. It's very powerful. I did that in Lombok because a lot of my sermon prepared, suddenly the situation changed. I'm saying, brothers and sisters, let's pursue love, but let's take that spiritual gift out there so we can speak word of prophecy, word of knowledge, and word of wisdom. If you haven't tried, ask the Holy Spirit. God will not give you scorpion and snake if you ask for the Spirit. All right? I know this is a good old Baptist church. I've been here 90. I love the people here. But this is all in the Bible. So if you believe in 1 Corinthians 13, I think you need to take into account that the spiritual gift, we need it. All right, I'll finish there. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that there's so much history in this church, Lord. So much history. I think it's been going on more than 150 years. So most of us were not around when you first started. But Father, would you continue to bless this community, that they will be strong in your word, they be strong in your love, and would you grant us grace, Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday, to understand what it is to tarry and wait, that the Holy Spirit come with the perpetual power and presence of God that will drive us out into the world to witness for you, to live and die for you, because you have died for us. You have lived and died for us, and you call us as your disciple. As we remember Agus, Lord, I pray that many more here will be raised up like in the early years, in the 90s, where lots of the young people were sent out. So we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.